Dr. Ronnie Jackson. I said, is there some kind of a test, an acuity test? And he said, there actually is, and he named it, whatever it might be. And it was 30 or 35 questions. The first questions are very easy. The last questions are much more difficult, like a memory question. It's like you'll go person, woman, man, camera, TV.
So Trump took a memory test. He doesn't know what it's called. So I say he already fails the memory test.
Yeah, he failed, and he couldn't even remember what the test, what was on the test. So
no, he's like man, woman, thing, blah blah. Ronnie Jackson. Those are the only fucking things he remembers from the goddamn test. Not the name of the test. Not like a question from the test. Just objects that he probably just pointed out randomly, and he probably didn't even get those right. It's just like a kindergartner that when they, you know, at least put in the fucking effort, they're just like, here, gold star.
Right. And during that clip, he was like looking around the room, just like, look at it. I can't get over it. He's just looking around. He's just like naming things that he's looking at. Like, oh, this was an example. What was on this? Like camera, TV.
I spy a Secret Service agent.
Right? I spy a Ruski.
I spy a nuclear football. Oh. It's just amazing to me that, like, he's able to, how do I put it, just say these things in interviews and people lap it up still. If this was any other person, even another Republican, I even think they would be like, I don't know about this. But because it's him and he's built up such a cult personality that they just nod in agreement and be like, he's playing 4D chess.
Yeah, and I actually just fucking caught this in the other tweet from the Q. We'll talk about QAnon later in the show, but you know, Trump said he took an acuity test, and this, you know, QAnon person's like, acuity test? Like, oh, okay. Let's just look for patterns in everything.
Yeah, look, there's a Q in it, so that means that the cabal has been caught. He took an IQ test. The cabal's been caught. Hillary Clinton is going to be arrested tomorrow. Barack Obama is going to be arrested tomorrow. Jeff Bezos is going to escape by rocket ship to another planet. I mean, after all, he did make an extra $13 billion today.
Oh, God, yeah. I saw the headlines. I didn't really look into it, but that's fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
Is he officially a trillionaire yet, or is he still on his way?
I think he's still on his way, but it's only a matter of time. Welcome to the show. We were busy just cackling about Trump's test that he took. That he said it's a memory test, but doesn't know the name of the test. That's probably been the highlight of the week. The rest of it, not so good. Not so good.
Not so much. There's a lot of bad news this week. And yeah. I guess getting into it, oh geez, I'm gonna mispronounce his name.
I'll do it. Yeah. So if any of you have been paying attention to elections outside of the presidential election, you know that Nancy Pelosi's seat is up for grabs. And she was facing a challenger that, because California has ranked choice voting, a challenger that could have been palatable to her district, and his name is Shahid Buttar. And I liked what I saw. He had a very progressive agenda. He was very much open about defunding the police, and he was endorsed by the San Francisco Democratic Socialists and by a lot of other like progressive groups Unfortunately, this week, well, it started happening last week, he was accused by a comedian of sexual harassment. And it just kind of snowballed from there to where he is now potentially facing the DSA yanking their endorsement from him. And it's multiple things now of not only was he, did he sexually harass an old acquaintance, as he put it, and he is saying it is false, but he is now being accused of being having some misogynist tendencies towards his female staffers. And there is some weight to it, in my opinion, because he's had such a high staff turnover the last this cycle. Like, I believe he had a complete staff overhaul in May because he just let go of people. And he is saying that they were performance issues and that's why the staff was let go. But they're saying that he was a misogynist. He talked down to women. A male staffer was just like, I didn't have any problems with him, but I did notice the way he treated female staffers.
Mm-hmm. It's super disappointing. Like, mm-hmm. It sucks. you know. But it's... why? I guess, you know, any kind of position of power is gonna be like, you know, this temptation, I guess, to like flaunt your power and be like, hey, I can do whatever the fuck I want because I'm, you know, whatever. But yeah, I mean, he there was a quote in this this article covering it, Mission Local,
mm-hmm.
where the girl who you know, is kind of coming out with these allegations, basically said she's speaking out because, not specifically because of what he did, but like because he's going for a position of power, and mm-hmm. basically that, you know, he's not trustworthy, and quote, the left can do better. And yeah, we can do better. We should do better than voting in, you know, known sexual assaulters. You know, it's, you know, in this case, like, yeah, I don't know. I don't want to get too much into the whole Biden thing, but I mean, I guess.
Well, he was one of the pushers. He was one of the first, he was one of the first big, like, actual candidates running for office that picked up on the Tara Reid accusation. And that's what kind of pisses me off a lot is that he did push it, and even I pushed it, which I'll admit. And but I don't have people accusing me of being a misogynist. And the resolution that the DSA, 40 members of the DSA of San Francisco signed, said that he mismanaged his campaign by treating his campaign team, specifically women, in a belittling, demeaning, hyper-controlling, and abusive manner. That's the resolution that the DSA had 40 members sign.
Yeah, I didn't really pay attention to it much because there's just been too much of to keep track of in 2020, but when I saw this, I went back and looked at some of his YouTube videos on, you know, just talk, whatever. And yeah, I can see it. He's really patronizing, just in his general outward appearance. So, I mean, yeah, I can totally see it. And I mean, it sucks because Pelosi is one of the big roadblocks in our legislative system, just in general. She needs to go. And Shahid was, I think, well, I actually didn't look at the numbers. I think he was definitely one of the bigger names.
Yeah, he was
a lot of traction. He got like 17% votes or something.
Yeah. And by no means did I think he was going to beat Pelosi.
Yeah.
It would have been such an uphill climb, and especially as how entrenched she is and in the amount of money that if he was to start mounting past 35% in the polls, that there would be no way that the congressional Democrat campaigns wouldn't just throw tons of money at Pelosi to get her there. And like, he had all the things that I liked: a constitutional lawyer, activist, artist, and stuff like that. And I think he did have some charisma about him, and that's why it was disappointing for me to hear that this accusation came out. And I'm not ready to pull out the pitchforks yet, but I have to say it's not looking good. And even like, if the DSA and other progressive groups are already considering pulling their endorsements of you, there has to be something there that they don't like.
Yeah. It's really not a good sign. And yeah, like you said, the most progressive and leftist, big organizations that people know of. It fucking sucks.
They are, in my opinion, the DSA of San Francisco and progressive politics in the Bay Area, of living in the Bay Area. Like, they are real deal and hardline about this stuff. So I think that there would be a very zero tolerance. There wouldn't be any, like, hush-hush about it, try to bury it. They would be like, no, get out, go away. At this point, it's too late, and I think for anybody to try to mount a campaign against Pelosi. No. But yeah, that's where we're at with that.
Yep, it's unfortunate. We'll keep you posted as more information comes out about this.
Yeah, yeah. If more comes out about it, we'll cover it in this week's second episode.
Yep, for sure. Moving on to some COVID news. We got 4 million infections with less than half recovered, and we're closing in at the 150,000 death toll.
Yeah, we'll be there by the end of the week. I think we'll be there by the end of the week. I think the official number is 146, but it's climbing daily. We're adding about 1,000 plus deaths. So I think that we will reach 150,000. In the coming days. The entire thing about little children not being susceptible to COVID. 85 infants in the Texas Gulf Coast tested positive for COVID-19. That's terrifying. Especially, it's just like you got a feel for the parents that they have the potential of like losing a child or not being able to be near their child because of infection.
Yeah, that is not fun to think about. Yeah, it's funny, that whole narrative that, you know, young people are not as susceptible. Well, that mostly came from the conservative side of the aisle. So,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, just like everything. Trump is taking a new tone. I've read lots of articles from mainstream media saying that he's trying to hit the reset button on COVID. Like earlier this week, he tweeted a picture of himself wearing a mask and he called it patriotic. That would have been nice if he would have done that in March, because this has gone on too far. The COVID idiots have, contributed to the upper us surging again. I don't want to blame it all on them, because this is constantly evolving, but they sure as hell didn't help matters by not wearing masks. And this is my thing about it is, that if they are putting up such a fuss about not wearing masks. What do you think happens when a vaccine comes out?
Yeah, right? I don't know what they're going to do then. Things are just moving so quickly now, and it, you know, Trump has finally realized months later, 140K plus dead later, that he's finally backed into the corner where he's got to start taking the advice of health experts and actually doing something about it. And all of that loyalty that was built up with him and other high-ranking Republicans, you know, especially like governors like Georgia, Brian Kemp, and then other senators and shit, who basically swore their undying allegiance to Trump and went on, they tripled down on the anti-mask narrative. Georgia, I think we reported last episode or one of the ones before, where Kemp basically said, he put his foot down and said, no, we're not going to allow local governments to say, to implement mandatory mask laws. And here Trump is wearing a mask saying, oh, I think it's a good thing. Patriotic now. So they're getting thrown under the bus, and Trump doesn't care. He's just trying to save his own skin.
Yeah, he's saving his own ass, and he probably has advisors around him, or like medical advisors being like, hey, this is getting really bad. And even he has admitted it now. Remember in April, like him saying it would be gone by April because of the heat. The heat would take it away. The heat would kill everything. And here we are, almost August, and we are surging and surging quickly. Speaking of Kemp, Georgia reported 78 dead in one day.
Yeah, that's, it's ridiculous. And Georgia's one of the big states where it's just anti-masks everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Like him trying to sue, him throwing his weight around to Mayor Bottoms in Atlanta, and where they have gone back to just basically being shut down, gone back to square one. And he is trying to tell her that no, you can't have these masks. You can't have a mask mandate.
You can't have a mask mandate. We're going to deploy the National Guard. I'm actually not sure if the National Guard are out of Georgia yet, but yeah, there is over 1,000 troops. Despite, you know, Atlanta Mayor Bottoms saying, basically being left out of the loop on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, these people are still in denial, and I don't know, we're sort of at a turning point. I feel like maybe a little bit, this isn't like a huge thing, Trump wearing a mask, like, you know, give it a week and every conservative will probably forget about it, but it's going to be interesting what the officials do. What the high ranking Republicans, the GOP people are going to, how they're going to react. Whether, cause there's already the splinter, you know, we've kind of talked about the Lincoln Project a little bit, where there's the anti-Trumpers, never-Trumpers, but we'll see if there's as much of a schism developing in the Republican Party as there is in the Democratic Party, but some reason I don't think so, but we'll see where it goes.
They will fall in line. Like everybody counting on these Republicans, like the Bush era Republicans coming to save the Biden campaign, like, don't count on them. Just seriously, it would be such a fatal mistake to possibly hedge your bets on the compassionate conservative crowd, or like they see the D next to somebody's name in the polls. And they're just like, no, they might say that they probably will never admit they voted for Trump, but a lot of them will. Like the silent Trump voter is very much a thing in my book.
Absolutely. Just because of how much partisan is entrenched in American politics nowadays. Yeah. There's so many silent Trump voters, and hell, I'd wish they'd at least stay silent and not be. Yeah, like the just... like the Q people. Holy shit.
Oh. But in other news, the protests are still going strong in Portland. And if you would have told me that moms and dads would be the heroes of protesters in 2020, I would have just said, the fuck you talking about? Because apparently, if you watch live streams of Portland, you can often see a group of moms making a human chain to protect protesters because the cops are going to be a little hesitant of shooting on mothers, especially like, you know, older, maybe Gen X, older millennial Gen X moms. They're not going to open fire on them as much as they would your typical protester. And supplementing that are dads taking their leaf blowers out and blowing the tear gas back at the cops. And that is fucking fantastic. I'm glad we are starting to take some notes from the Hong Kong protests, because you want to talk about people that have been fighting and coming up with clever tactics. It has been the Hong Kong protesters.
It really has. There's so much we could learn from them. And yeah, like you said, glad we're taking some of their advice finally. And it's just hilarious that it's coming from this, you know, seems to be the stereotypical, you know, white picket fence mom and dad saying, you know what, I've had enough. I've had enough of this anti-American.
No. Yeah, once they started snatching people from the streets, like, I felt like protests had been continuously since George Floyd's death, but I had noticed that there had been a tapering off. Mm-hmm. And this show of force by the current administration of sending out border patrols to snatch people from the streets has kind of recharged people. And, like, it's terrible what's happening, but I'm glad that more people are coming out, especially the moms who are protecting protesters by chaining their arms together, and the dads who are taking their fucking leaf blowers and blowing tear gas back. And I'm glad to see that this is becoming not just those of us that are continuously active in politics and have been hitting the streets for a while, but we're seeing people that are just like, no, this is a breaking point. This, you've crossed a line. If you're going to start snatching our citizens from the streets, that's fascism. And they're coming out.
Yeah, that's really good. That was kind of one of the big hopes I had for this movement, was to wake up the average Joe and, mm-hmm. you know, push them into some sort of action. And snatching up people off the streets is finally starting to do that. It's kind of funny who's notably absent from speaking out against this is all of these fucking libertarians who are so scared about government forces coming up to snatch people off the streets, mm-hmm. and, you know, the military and all this, because, oh, fuck government, fuck the state, man. Yeah. Where exactly are the libertarians? You know, they're nowhere to be fucking found.
Yeah, they're nowhere to be fucking found, like usual. Like, when the going gets tough, they go back to fucking jack off to fucking Ayn Rand and Friedman and Murray Rothbard, and just like their entire thing. It's racist, in my opinion, and because it threatens their power, the current power structure for them, as being, because most libertarians I've met are, you know, white dudes, and they don't like that. It doesn't represent them, so it's not their fucking problem. But if anybody should be out there because of just government overreach and tyranny, you would think that the libertarians would be out there. And I haven't kept up with what Joe, their presidential candidate, has said about this, but I don't see her anywhere.
I haven't either, but yeah, you know, at this point, The Libertarian Party has enough signal boosting capability where they could get a message out to basically everyone if they really wanted to, and they're not. It's radio silence from them.
They're radio silent. They in 2016 they came in third place. They had more voters than the Green Party.
Damn.
They
should be, you know, fucking out, speaking out against this, Trump is good for business.
Yeah, Trump is good. Trump is great for capitalism. So, of course, they're going to shut the fuck up and, you know, keep on being libertarians and being quiet about it. But the minute if Joe Biden wins and he dares increase 1 cent of tax, they will be up in arms screaming.
Yep. Screeching their heads off about that. I guess really quick before we go more into the whole Border Patrol people snatching up protesters off the street. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, is introducing a piece of legislation that will allow lawsuits against local officials who fail to keep their communities safe by pulling back police protection. So basically, communities who want to defund the police and reallocate that funding, they will be able to have lawsuits held against them if this law passes. He also said that it's racist to defund the police because black people won't be more protected by the police, which is can you not read the room, dude? What the fuck are you talking about?
No, Ted Cruz cannot read the room. Exactly. There's a reason why he is even hated by the Republic. His own party fucking can't stand him. They need his vote, but they fucking can't stand him.
Yeah. And, I mean, he's one of Trump's big fucking lapdogs, too. So.
Yeah, after calling his wife dog ugly, Ted Cruz fucking licked his boots.
Mm-hmm. It's incredible to me. The gymnastics, the lies of, and the complete distortion of reality. But speaking a little bit of distorting reality, there are people who are, so we covered last time that Portland, Border Patrol, the SWAT team equivalent of Border Patrol is snatching up protesters in unmarked vans. They're dressed in camo. They don't have badge numbers on their uniforms, whatever, identifications. Apparently, there are, according to this Business Insider article, there are activists who are dressing up in camo, just like them, just like the federal agents. They're even purchasing military patches from eBay and putting them on their uniforms to blend in. So it's kind of, I don't know, there's a couple ways you can go about this. On the one hand, you've got Pentagon officials who are concerned about this, but primarily for optics. And there's a little bit of weird wording. There's some contrast between, like, currently employed Pentagon officials and ex-Pentagon or military, you know, high-ranking generals. But currently, the Pentagon is worried about the optics of having, you know, unmarked people dressing up as federal agents snatching up people. And the Department of Homeland Security and Border Patrol are disputing the claim that their forces are beating and abducting protesters in Portland. I mean, of course they are. They don't want to own up to that. But it's just funny to see that's the kind of official stance. They're concerned about the optics of the situation and not so much the snatching and disregarding the fucking constitutional rights of American citizens. That's not a real concern for them.
No.
It's hilarious to me. Go for it.
On the three percenters dressing up, and like that should terrify any left-leaning activist, because one of these days, these three percenters under the guise of looking like Bortak and U.S. Marshals dressed in fatigues are going to hurt somebody. They are going to hurt somebody really bad, and that is a disaster waiting to happen. The Pentagon and Border Patrol don't really care about the protesters per se. Clearly they don't, because they've been shooting rubber bullets and tear gas at them for months now. Nothing is going to be more damaging than finding a activist body somewhere where these three percenters have done something really bad.
Yeah, that's going to be... Holy shit. I mean, George Floyd was already a huge thing. If that happens, mm-hmm. if it escalates to that level, we're straight up getting closer and closer to a fucking civil war, and it's terrifying to think about it. Like, mm-hmm. it's... Yeah, it's insane. These fucking supposedly anti-government fucking militia groups LARPing as the fucking military. It's the hypocrisy is hilarious. And at the end of the day, these groups don't want to challenge the power structure. I kind of mentioned it before in a previous episode. They don't want to challenge it. They just want to take over it. And so they're going to infiltrate and subvert it to their wishes, which is genocide, basically. But to kind of draw the real, you know, drive the point home with the distinction between the current Pentagon officials and ex-Pentagon officials. So currently serving is U.S. Army General Mark Milley, who is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He is quoted as saying, "You want a clear definition between that which is military and that which is police, in my view." He said this during a congressional hearing earlier this month in July. Went on to say, because when you start introducing the military, you're talking about a different level of effort here. So it's like, okay, he's basically saying it's okay for the police or activists, if you want to interpret it that way, to kind of do the same thing that the military is doing. It just doesn't have the official stamp, but supposedly when you have official military action, like, that's supposed to say something different. Fascism is fascism. It doesn't matter where it comes from. It's just the military is concerned that they want to be the one officially sanctioning it. I guess. I don't know. But in contrast, you've got retired U.S. Army General Russell Honoré. Oh, God. I butchered that. He was the three-star general who commanded the military's FEMA response to Hurricane Katrina. And he was very blunt about it. He said, "Police don't do this. What kind of bullshit is this? Get the hell out of our uniforms." So you got this old grizzled fucking veteran three-star general saying, like, these bitches don't defend the Constitution. Fuck them. They need to get out of our uniforms. But we've got our current official administration saying, playing loosey-goosey with everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's heartening to hear. And it was also heartening to hear Philadelphia's DA be like, no, if they kidnap our citizens, we're going to press charges on them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that there are people with power in the system of power, and even they are just being like, no, this is too much. Now, I wish congressional Democrats would take a more less clutching pearls, less furrowed brow and wagging their finger of bad Trump bad, and just be like, no, impeachment again, because he can be impeached again. And that's what's pissing me off so much, is that they are scolding, but they're not doing anything. They're sitting on their hands just waiting for an election. And that, to me, that's not good enough. There needs to be, no, you need to be impeached again. This is This is a crime against your citizens, which you swore an oath to up to protect. And they're sitting on their hands. That's my opinion, is they're sitting on their hands and they're clutching their pearls and they're just scolding. And weak scolding at that, because at the end of the day, they did vote for these budgets that have given him the power to do this.
Yeah, and that's the interactions I've had as well at large with other Democrats, at least like the bootlicking. I don't talk to many congressional Democrats, but, you know, they don't want to fundamentally change anything. No. And it's, they're never going to draw a line in the sand. Never.
Yeah.
It's shit. This is not a two-party system. This is a one-party system with, like, I don't know, like a ball and chain on its ankle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, it's going to go further and further right towards fascism. It's just going to take a little bit longer because we got the Democrats just fucking being dead weight, pretty much at this point. And it's shit. This is why we need to vote down ballot and at least try to get more progressives in during the election this year. That's probably the most important part is, you know, think what you want about the presidential vote. There's a whole lot of nuance on that. We're going to talk about that at some point in the future. But at the very least, every single one of you should be registered to vote and vote down ballot for progressive candidates. Even if they don't have a shot in hell of winning, do it. We need that. That's just one of the fronts and how we're going to change this country for the better. Voter apathy hasn't done shit for us. So, whatever. I don't know. I'm a little bit rambling. I'm a little bit drunk right now. let's speed it up a little bit.
Yeah. So, what we said on our previous episode was this was just a rollout of getting a dress rehearsal. Portland's just a dress rehearsal. Well, it's official. Operation Legend has started in Kansas City, is expanding to Chicago and Albuquerque. So there are Border Patrol, U.S. Marshals being deployed to these cities. And if you think it stops with Kansas, and if you think it stops at Chicago, and you think it stops at Albuquerque, you're fucking wrong. They're going to be in L.A. They're going to be in New York. They're probably going to be in Louisville. They're probably going to be in Atlanta. They're going to be everywhere. They're going to be in every fucking metropolitan city in this country, snatching protesters off the street and committing crimes against our fellow citizens. So this is a line in the fucking sand to me that's why everybody needs to show up on the streets. Everybody needs to protest. Everybody needs to show solidarity, because this is only going to grow, especially as the heat turns up during the election and things are looking worse for him, because right now things are looking fucking awful for Trump. Joe Biden is, I don't really believe polls that much, but Joe Biden is beating him by double digits in some polls. He is in the margin of error in some Texas polls. He's even winning in other Texas polls. Joe Biden could potentially win Texas. So if you think Trump is just going to just sit there and defeat, no, he's going to come in like a goddamn wrecking ball, and he's going to be using Border Patrol to do it. And before we get any more ranty, let's talk about some fun shit for a second. So If you've been paying attention on Twitter released a statement regarding QAnon. Twitter support. We've been clear that we will take strong enforcement action on behavior that has potential to lead to offline harm. In line with this approach this week, we are taking further action on so-called QAnon activity across the service. And when that announcement came out, Twitter immediately banned 7,000 accounts and limited 150,000. accounts. Now, that's a massive effort right there, in my opinion, and just limiting the 150 accounts, which means probably reply deboosting or shadow banning, even though Twitter says they don't shadow ban. And that's big news. You've been following the QAnon thing, and we're going to talk about some gems that have come out this week. Now, the thing that I found very curious about this, and like I've seen no correlation or anything officially about it, but the day before Twitter did this, CNN had a special that they aired on conspiracy theories, and one of the cornerstones of it was QAnon and its connection to Trump. And like, I find it funny that CNN runs that, it's nationally televised, and then the next day QAnon gets banned. And I don't think there's some nefarious, this mainstream media is teaming up with Silicon Valley CEOs to do that. I think that Twitter shareholders and Twitter board and Jack Dorsey saw the CNN special and were like, oh shit, this is going to eventually blow back on us, so let's get these fuckers off. That's my thought on it. Parler will probably see an uptick in membership, which is a shame because I'm already banned from Parler.
Oh no. What did you do? Did you insult someone?
Yeah, I insulted a lot of people on my 2 days on Parler. 2 days and I was gone. There was just so many people there that I was just like, this is fantastic.
Yeah, I kind of browsed through a couple profiles on Parler, and it's a little bit incredible. But
I'm not going back. They want your phone number. I already used the burner phone number. I'm not doing it again.
yeah, they even want your, if you want to be like an influencer for them, you've got to give your fucking tax ID or some shit. Like,
yeah, your driver's license and all sorts of shit. I'm just like, no, fuck that. Not that I have any interest in being an influencer, especially not on Parler of all platforms. But we'll probably see an uptick in their membership. I think Parler has kind of taken has basically taken over what Gab tried to be 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't hear anything about Gab anymore. Gab has basically been just taken over by insane Nazis.
Yeah, pretty much at this point. There's nothing left. And you give it, you know, a year or two, same thing's going to happen to Parler. That's the kind of community they're trying to foster. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what happens over there. I guess my quick thought on the Twitter thing is usually these big ban waves take a long time. They do a lot of research and takes a while to put together that list of, you know, almost 200,000 accounts to deal with. So that CNN thing probably came out, and like you said, Twitter basically said, oh shit, we just gotta like roll with what we got and, you know, keep going as time goes on. Maybe there's still like, it was like a work in progress and this is what they have, so maybe we'll see more bans later. We'll see what comes of that, but this is a good start. And this kind of gets into, I'll get into that point in a second, but there I found some incredible QAnon stuff. The first week was good. This week's also pretty good. So when Trump started wearing masks, there was a tweet basically saying, well, wait a second, was Trump actually trying to send us a message, like a warning sign, like, you know, quote unquote, wearing a mask equals watch what you say? Like, no, it has nothing to do with, you know, public safety. It has to do with that he's playing 4D chess. That's actually it, when he can't even remember what his acuity test said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's great. I love it. But this was kind of the current theme of what I saw this week, is that, and I already knew this, but QAnon is not a peaceful movement by any means.
No.
There was a tweet basically saying, quote unquote, rational liberals exist. And there's that saying, I think I alluded to it at some earlier episode, basically saying, if you scratch a liberal, a fascist bleeds, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the idea is that liberals, at the end of the day, because they are capitalists, they will defend fascism because fascism challenges capitalism less than socialism does. And basically, there was this, I don't know, some kind of Australian independent journalist who just looks like a moderate to me, but she tries to say she's like a faux leftist or socialist or something, whatever. She basically said, you know, QAnon is one of the most annoying things in the world, and at the same time, we don't need, you know, the Silicon Valley monopoly trying to censor everyone. It's like, okay. So, like, Twitter, number one, is a private company, whether you like it or not. It's a private company, so we are bound to their, you know, end-user license agreements. So they basically control what speech is allowed on their platform. But this is kind of gets into the tolerance of paradox, where in order to have tolerance, you cannot tolerate intolerance. So the analogy, I think the best analogy I've found is regards driving and laws about driving. Like, so technically you can just drive wherever the fuck you want. Like, physically there's nothing really stopping you. You can drive on sidewalks if you want to. You can drive off the side of the road if you want to. But there are rules in place in order to protect you and everyone else. And so while maybe it is a small sacrifice, without those rules, you can't, no one can drive safely, right? If there's just no repercussions or laws against what you can and can't do with a dangerous vehicle that can kill someone if you're not paying attention at the wrong moment. Same thing kind of goes for free speech. If we allow Nazis to spread their shit unchallenged, they will use that to their advantage because they don't care about free speech. They just care about getting in power and enacting their grand ethno state. That's all they care about. So they'll lie their way into power. They don't care about free speech. Whereas we do. We on the left actually do give a fuck about free speech. It just, you can't tolerate the intolerance of these people. And Q is kind of the embodiment of what it means to be intolerant. There's a big movement. It's kind of spread to Iran recently. And it, essentially, the world needs a restart, quote unquote. And this whole theme of, like, death and rebirth is a huge thing among fascists. But, you know, no one seems to really catch that because it's wrapped up in the spiritual new age, you know, bullshit. There's another little thing with regarding Trump and the masks and censorship and whatever. It says, quote, this long time battle has now turned into a war. So, you know, more warfare imagery. There are many Q accounts openly using the they, like in the brackets or in like the triple parentheses. Actually, they don't do the triple parentheses so much. They just do brackets, but it's basically the same thing. They're referring to globalists, which is another code word for Jews. And oh my God, they're controlling everything. It's terrible. So there's just like a lot of just hatred among these people. And one of the big ones that's popping up, one of the big Q accounts is called Restart Leader. People are trying to prop this guy up. I don't know who he is. I need to do some more digging, but they're propping him up as the future leader of Persia or the hashtag Cyrus Empire. And he's been saying insane shit like pro-Trump, anti-Democrat, whatever. stuff for a long time, and one of them was, if Trump doesn't get re-elected in 2020, you will see the massacre of patriots by globalists and radical Islamists everywhere in the world. And this is like the Iranian interpretation of, you know, of playing victim. The massacre of patriots, which is, you know, what these Q people call themselves to make them feel better about their pathetic fucking lives, where they have to actually buy into this horseshit to, you know, have any semblance of control, any feeling of control of where the world's going. We're going to apparently massacre them. You know, we, the globalists, the Islamists, the communists specifically, it's the communists that they're so afraid of. I don't know. That's my rant about this. It's QAnon is not a peaceful. It doesn't take long to figure this out. If you just like browse through some of the big QAnon Twitter things, you know, less than 24 hours, you're going to see some fucking entertaining shit, but a lot of far right wing, just nutso shit.
Yeah, just some absolute batshit crazy shit. It's become like when it first started popping up as the offshoot of Pizzagate, because that's where a lot of this cabal, there's always been cabal shit, but like this is where you started getting a lot of Trump Republicans veering into it, was with Pizzagate and the Hillary Clinton emails. And it's just grown and gotten bigger. And whoever started it, I think they're the greatest LARPer in the world.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my God.
It is beyond their control now.
I'm kind of wondering if it's got to be a whole team. It's probably like a small business, like you know, that provide one service, but they're actually just running QAnon. This is just such an elaborate web of conspiracies and just interconnectedness of everything or whatever. It's it's insane. These people are just like not well, and I really don't like to play like the mental health card or anything, but holy shit, it's part delusion, it's one part delusion, one part like these people just figured out what Edgar Allan Poe is and they're trying to replicate his like a really bad rendition of his poetry. I mean, hey, I like Poe, right? But like, it's, oh my gosh, these people can't write worth a shit, and it kind of makes you feel sorry for them. After the QAnon Twitter ban happened, they all started, they just, oh my god, they went on a rampage of just pep talking each other. We got "Be Not Afraid," like in all cap, or you know, capitalized, like title case. The people you think are dead are alive. The ones you think are alive are dead. The world's a stage. Enjoy the show. Keep in prayer. Do not let the rage and anger of evil overwhelm you. It's just like, it's endless. And like, I am a Christian soldier. I, you know, will defend the weak. And this is the biggest LARPing fucking conspiracy theory I've ever seen in my life. Like, and there's so many people on board with it. I don't get it either.
And I'm sure that more will come out in the coming days as like they start migrating to other platforms. And I mean, they've always been crazy, and I don't know much more to add to it other than all we can do is hope that some kind of semblance of sanity comes back to him.
Yeah, and that's not something you can do with like a stranger. I feel like the only people you can try to maybe slowly convince over time is like your close friends and family.
Yeah, your immediate family and close friends.
Yeah. Because no one else, none of these people are going to listen to you. They're so far gone. It's just...
Yeah, they're so far... Yeah.
It's not worth the energy to try and convince these people that they're living in a fantasy land.
There was actually a local bakery here that when COVID started happening, they posted a... the owner got on their Facebook page and posted WWG1GA or whatever the fuck it is on it.
Oh,
and immediately just backlash of bad Yelp reviews, and it was all over the community, the city's subreddit. It was pretty funny. And I remember people just being like, I'm not going to go there anymore. I'm not going to go anywhere that they have bread. It's still open. Apparently, the consequences weren't bad enough. But, you know, this is not just the people in the basement that think they're part of, like, some elaborate army that's going to bring down the global cabal. This is business owners. This is your uncle at the... Thanksgiving dinner table. They're everywhere. This has gone outside the normal parameters of conspiracy theorists, because I love reading conspiracies. But even people that you perceive as normal, that you would never guess that they're just like, I believe in Bigfoot and aliens. I can talk about that. But they believe this shit.
They do. And it's... This is really just beyond conspiracy theory land. This is just almost mainstream politics at this point. And it's unfortunate. The only real thing you can do with these kind of fringe people that I have, that, like, politically speaking, like, is just to shun them and shame them. I don't know what else to do, because you can't ever talk a Nazi out of being a Nazi. They have to come to it on their own terms if they decide to leave. Until then, they are a actual threat to the health and safety and well-being of people. I mean, these QAnon people are advocating for the deaths of certain people that doesn't fit into their fucking political agenda. And with those kinds of people, it's like, okay, practically speaking, you just can't engage with them. You just have to fucking shun them and disempower them by every means necessary if you want to actually, like, protect people at large. It sucks. It's unfortunate. Thankfully, it's not, for the moment, Q isn't on this same, like, destructive scale that, like, neo-Nazis are and always have been since their inception, but it's going to get there, and it's going to get there faster with another 4 years of Trump, unfortunately. Because as long as these people feel empowered to keep spreading their fucking where we go, one we go all fucking bullshit, they're going to keep doing it. And as more of them get into power, we can't fucking do it. You just can't allow these people to gain influence over society, so you have to stop them.
And I guess on that note,
I'm gonna end up rambling, because
we are at the hour mark. It's weird, it's usually you reining me in.
Right. I don't know, it's been like a long week for me, so maybe I'm just a little bit more out of it, but
teamwork, but if you like, teamwork makes the dream work. If you like what you hear, visit us at American Shakedown and subscribe to us on whatever podcasting platform you use. Give us a good rating. It helps people find the show, blah, blah, blah. And we'll be back later on in the week.
Yep. Thanks for tuning in, and have a good one.